I'm going to set aside the series on the names of God this morning to look at something in strict relevance to the communion service. I shouldn't say strict relevance, but relevance to the communion service. I want to speak from the Word of God, and I want to remind you once again, if you need help from the Lord, these altars are open at any point in our service. Could you stand for the reading of God's Word? I also want to encourage you to come early and pray. And you might have noticed, but we've already had some kind of plague hit folks this week. We've got numerous ones out sick. We want to remember them in prayer. And a little early for that kind of stuff. Amen. How many senses the presence of the Lord in the house? I want us to glorify Jesus. Amen. May he be glorified through the preaching of the word. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. Paul says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ. You've been removed into another gospel. In other words, there was a gospel that saved you, but you left that and went to some newfangled thing. Verse 7. But it's not really another gospel, Paul says, but there are some that trouble you who would pervert the gospel of Christ. They try to change what the gospel is. Verse 8. But though we, here's the warning, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Verse 9. As we said before, so I now say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. I want to preach this morning. This is kind of a unique title, but it'll make the point I want to make. I want to preach about the gospel and the skinny mirror. Now, you're going to have to pray for me because I'm going to do a very dangerous thing. I'm going to, in analogy, I'm going to liken weight loss to sin lost. And you know what a delicate situation that could be. So you pray for me as we preach. Jesus, we want you to be glorified because truly you are our only hope. You're our only help, Lord, and we pray this morning that the spirit that we feel would just show us so real that Jesus is who we need again and again in our lives. Thank you, Lord. Anoint me to speak your word in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. The gospel in the skinny mirror. I was alarmed. I heard on the news this week that yet another evangelical pastor came out, and I'll just use the words came out. He came out, and this pastor's from Scotland, he came out to declare that he no longer believes in the blood atonement. He no longer believes, in other words, that it takes the blood of Jesus to be saved. In fact, he went a step further. He said, I think that's barbaric to say that it's the blood that saves us. You know, we have watched how quickly our world has went from disapproval of same-sex marriage to approval. It's happened so quickly. And you may think I'm a calamity, Howard, but I'm telling you, just as quickly, there's something happening in the church world, and we're going from the true gospel of salvation through the blood of Jesus. We're going very quickly to another gospel. It's happening. It's a rapid transformation. But Paul said, even if it's presented as another gospel, it is not truly the gospel. It is something else. I'll tell you, I'm alarmed by that because the gospel is the only thing that can save us. And yet people are messing with the gospel. The gospel was everything to the apostles and the New Testament believers. They died for the gospel as we have heard it shared. Amen. You say, well, what are you talking about? Maybe that's a new terminology to you. But gospel simply means the good news. And in a nutshell, the good news was the story of Jesus coming as a man, God in the flesh, dying on the cross, put in a tomb, buried, dead. But on the third day, as was sung, he rose again. He died for our sins, but he rose again to make us righteous before God. Amen. In our day, these other gospels are being preached, and basically they'll do one of three things. Some of the new gospels, they deny that Jesus is the only way. It's called pluralism. They say there are many ways that man can be saved. There are many ways that man can come to God. Man can make it to heaven. I'm telling you, if there were many ways, there need not be Jesus. Amen. The Father made a mistake to sacrifice his only begotten Son. If there was some other way to be saved, that might be the other gospel, that there's many ways. But I'm here to preach this morning, there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's the gospel. Amen. Another factor of the new gospels is that which I've already mentioned. It's a denial of the blood atonement. Amen. In other words, it's preached, you don't need the blood to take away the wrath of God so you can be saved and not punished. They didn't start by just saying, you don't need the blood. They started by saying, God is all love. God will never judge sin. God will never look down on evil and sin judgment. They started there. If you don't have a God that judges, then you don't need the blood. But if you have a God that judges sin and iniquity, then you see the wonderful thing that the blood is. Because of the blood, we don't have to have judgment. We can have eternal life. Amen. But this gospel preaches you don't need the blood. The third factor of a false gospel is that it denies sin as the problem. They coach, or let me put it, they portray man's problem as everything else except sin. Man's problem is he don't have enough money. Man's problem is he don't have enough education. Man's problem, and the new gospel says, man's problem is he needs to think better thoughts about himself. He needs greater self-esteem. He needs to recognize his wonderful potential and what a wonderful thing that he is. The new gospel preaches the sin image as the problem. You see, here's how they're all connected. If my image, self-image, is my problem, I don't need the blood. I need more self-esteem. Amen. You change the nature of man's problem and you change what is needed for the solution. Amen. My point is, if you quit believing that Jesus is the only way to be saved, if you quit believing it takes his blood, why bother with church? Why come sing songs in church? Why pray? Amen. Why be religious? Amen. Why follow Jesus if it doesn't take his blood? Amen. Some don't bother. I heard on the news again this week that there's a Christian minister that was a pastor for years, and he came out to say he no longer believes in God. He's an atheist, and he's begun an organization to help other Christians come out and declare that they're atheists. He said, my goal is to make it easy and comfortable for Christians to come out and say that they no longer believe. Did you know there's actually atheist churches? Amen. Tell me that ain't messed up. Amen. That's like a bald-headed hippie. Amen. Amen. Atheist churches. Amen. It don't make any sense. My point is, if you don't believe it takes the blood, why bother? But I'm going to tell you something. Here's a group of people. It does matter. I said it does matter. And it does bother. We do bother. Why? Because we believe the gospel as preached by the Apostle Paul, Apostle Peter, by the New Testament Christians. We believe that gospel, it'll save the vilest sinner. It'll turn your life around. It'll change your destination. It'll change your heart and life. And it'll prepare you for an eternity with God. What is that gospel? In light of communion, I want us to think of these things. Here's what the gospel will tell you, the true gospel. It'll tell you, number one, that our problem is sin. Here's where the skinny mirror comes in. If you haven't, this isn't a commercial, I'm not advertising. But if you haven't heard, the Skinny Mirror is a company based in California that will sell you a mirror from between $165 and $5,500, depending on the material and the quality. They'll sell you a mirror that when you look in it in the morning, it's guaranteed to take 10 pounds off your image. Look at that smug look. Sound like a good deal? Now, I want to tell you what the danger of that is. It's the designer herself said, the goal is so people can feel good about themselves. I thought if there was ever a statement that the message of today's society and the message of the modern church is one in the same message, it's what this designer of the Skinny Mirror said. So people can feel good about themselves. I want you to think about how our society looks at things. And the underlying goal of our society is so people can feel good about themselves. I want you to turn on, that's rhetorical speaking, don't really, but if you do, I want you to turn on a lot of religious programming today, and they're preaching the same message of a totally perverted society. Their message is, I want you to feel good about yourself. You say, well, do you want folks to feel bad about themselves? No. I just realize we'll never get the help that we need unless we realize what the problem is. And if you want to talk about feeling good, I don't want to feel good about myself per se, but I want to tell you, when you've been washed in the blood and know your sins are gone and you're free from guilt and condemnation and you know that God loves you and you know that God has prepared a place from heaven, there's no better feeling than that. And it's not based on my self-esteem. It's based on the work of Christ in my life. The Skinny Mirror, to feel good about yourself. Amen. Everything from education to teaching in the church is designed so people can feel good about themselves. They'll tell you, never preach against sin. I've heard one of the biggest names say, I don't ever mention sin because it's negative. In other words, he said that. He said, it's negative. I don't mention it. It's negative. Amen. To giving no F's in the school system because that makes people feel bad. Amen. All of this of trying to correct every little thing. And political correctness is an effort to make people feel good about themselves. And I understand why. Nobody likes to be told that they're the problem. If you don't believe that, you get in a little spat with your spouse. Nobody likes to be told you're the problem. Nobody likes to be told you have a problem. We don't like that. Amen. Let me just put it this way, to put it very simply. Everybody likes looking in the Skinny Mirror, but not too many people like climbing up on the scales. You're praying for me, right? This is sensitive. They like the Skinny Mirror, but they don't like, you know why? Because the Skinny Mirror won't tell you the truth, but the scales will. Amen. How many set your scales back 10 pounds when you set your clocks back an hour last night? And I'm going to tell you something. I failed to bring my Bible out. I like have it so I can hold it. But I'm going to tell you something. Here's one right here. Amen. When the gospel's presented, this word is the scales. It'll show us the true condition. You can talk to the world. You can listen to the world's authority. You're getting a skinny mirror image. But when the word of God is preached, how many knows it's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. This is a scale that shows us what our problem is. You wonder why everything from education to economics keeps getting it wrong. They can't even get fighting terrorism right. Why is it? Because they don't start with the reality of what man's problem is. They start in saying that humans are basically good. And make no mistake, amen, I'm not saying we're all bad. We're made in the image of God. God. There is much good in us. And if there's any good in us, it's the image of God. But we are fallen. Amen. Somebody came in this morning and told me you need in a kind way. I just don't have time to put it in the words they did. They said, you need to preach about that carnal nature. Amen. Amen. We're created in the image of God. But every one of us is born into sin. By one man, sin entered into the world. It's in our genetics. You can start and say, man's basically good. Give him the right opportunity. Give him enough education. He'll do right. That's why you'll sit down and negotiate with terrorists who behind your back are planning to bomb you, because you're saying that terrorist is really good. No, sir, that terrorist isn't really good. He's really bad. He's really evil. And so are you, the one negotiating with them. Amen. They can't get education right. Spend more money and the kids will sit still and listen, and the teachers, no, they don't get it right. That's not our default setting. They're looking in the skinny mirror. They're smug in it, but they don't want the message of the scales. I want to tell you something. Scripture is clear. Romans 3, it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. Amen. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. My problem is sin. That's why I need the blood. I need the blood. I need the blood. That's the gospel. Businesses are buying up, that sell clothing, are buying up these skinny mirrors because they learned if they place them in their stores, people will buy more clothes. Modern preachers and teachers are supposed to be preaching the gospel, but they've picked up on the skinny mirror concept. I call it skinny mirror preaching. You're a master of your own destiny. You are full of potential. You are wonderful. You're special. You got a special anointing, a special gift. All of those are true in their context, but that's not the totality of the message. Amen. They'll even tell you, you need to be more positive. Look at yourself in the mirror and say nice things about yourself. I'm not talking about cutting yourself down. I'm not talking about inferiority complex. I'm talking about seeing the problem wrong. Amen. I can stand in the mirror and call myself Mr. Wonderful over and over again, but it will not change the deepest need of my heart. But there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Amen. You get the problem wrong, you'll never get the solution right. Skinny mirror preaching, it'll sell folks on your ministry, it'll sell folks to your church, but it will leave them with their hearts unchanged. But let me tell you in one statement, what is wrong with the skinny mirror and what is wrong with the modern gospel? Let me tell you in one sentence what's wrong with it. It's a farce. It's a lie. It's not the truth. You can look in the skinny mirror and it tell you that you're 10 pounds lighter, but it did not take off the 10 pounds. They're still there. You can listen to the gospel of self-esteem and positive confession tell you you're okay, but when you leave feeling good about yourself, the sin is still there. The problem is still there. Oh, hallelujah. It's a lie. I don't care how big the church is. It's a lie when they tell you that. It's in our common parlance, in vernacular. Things can be desperately wrong, but we just say it in reaction. It's okay. It's okay. Well, I'm going to tell you there's some things that aren't okay. They're wrong. Today's perverted gospel making people feel good about themselves. I want to tell you what the gospel will do. The gospel will tell you your problem is sin, but then the gospel will say there is a solution to sin. There's a way to be free from sin. There's a way to be rid of the guilt and the condemnation. I may be wrong, but I have not yet heard a testimony of somebody saying, I felt so good about myself. I felt so good about my life. I felt so good about my career. I felt so good about who I was that I decided I needed to get saved. Have you ever heard a testimony like that? Well, all of us, anyone ever heard a testimony like that? But I want to tell you what I've heard over and over again. my life came to a dead end. I was at the end of my rope. I realized I'd messed up everything in my life. I realized I had problems I couldn't solve. I realized the awful things that I'd done. I realized I was a sinner. And then I heard about Jesus. And I heard about the cross. And I heard, hallelujah. I'm telling you, we get the problem right, we'll have the solution. Secondly, the gospel is we cannot save ourselves. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1 says you got to know this. You're not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold. Put your money up. It won't save you. You're not saved by all your religious traditions. Verse 19. But you are saved by the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Paul says in Ephesians, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. We have technology like we've never had. We cannot save ourselves. We know more than we've ever known. We cannot save ourselves. We've come together in the brotherhood of nations. We cannot save ourselves. Why? Because salvation is not through an effort. It's not through a brilliant thought. Salvation is something that God does, and we accept by faith. I wish I had time to preach here. I don't. But let me make it clear, we cannot save ourselves. You cannot rid yourself of your sins. You cannot expunge. It's a stain you can never wash out on your own. No man has a detergent that can wash out the sins of their life. You cannot get rid of your sins. Amen. Now, if a person, pray for me, if a person really wanted to, and they were properly motivated and properly informed and dedicated to the process, they could take off a few pounds. Isn't that right? I'm not giving an altar call. That's just the truth. I'm using an illustration. Don't leave here and say, Brother Hurst preached about losing weight. But if you really wanted to, if I really wanted to, if you're interested, I'll talk to you about my 32-ounce Dr. Pepper and peanut diet. I'm going to start a pyramid scheme, telling it to you. I better go on. Somebody ain't praying. It'll be going better than this. You're praying. But if you really want to, you can take off a few pounds. But I want to tell you something. You can have every motivation in the world. You can put forth every effort possible. Amen. You can be well informed. And you can never take away, lose sin from your life. He must wash it away. Aren't you glad what we can't take away, He can wash away. Oh, somebody ought to praise God right there. I said, what we can't lose, amen, He'll wash it away. He'll take it away. We can't save ourselves. We cannot get out of sin by ourselves. Listen to me. Please listen. Sin isn't just something you do. Sin is something that you're involved in. It's a bondage. Amen. You get in sin, you can't decide, I'm just walking away from alcohol. I'm just walking away from drugs. I'm just walking away from pornography. I'm just going to walk away and be a good, nice man or woman. You can't just walk away. Amen. It's got a hold on you. You don't believe that. You try leaving it. I read this morning, Jesus said, for whosoever sinned is a servant of sin, a slave of sin. You don't just get out of sin because you want to get out of it. It's like trying to leave a gang. You don't leave a gang just because you're through with the gang. They'll come after you, and so will sin. Amen. You can't just get rid of sin. Why? I'm telling you, well, how do you get out of sin? You got to be delivered. I said you got to be delivered. I'm telling you, there's a God in heaven. Whatever bondage of sin that you're in, He will take you out of the kingdom of darkness and liberate you and set you down in the kingdom of light. He'll set you free. He'll open the prison door. He'll break off the chains of sin. You can't do that, but He can. You can't save yourselves. You cannot pay the debt of your own sins. You can work hard, you can tithe, you can give money, you can self-inflict yourself with pain and punishment. Amen. But you cannot pay the debt of your sin. It's when people see that they're helpless as far as their sin problem, that's when they come to Christ. You find a person that says, I can't go on. I can't do this. I can't make it. You find someone that says, I can't get it right. I can't get rid of my problem. I can't solve it. I can't stop drinking. I can't stop doing it. You get a person that realizes they cannot save themselves. And then Jesus comes. Oh, hallelujah. He can. He can. I said he can. And such were some of you, but you've been washed. You didn't walk away and leave sin. He delivered you from, oh hallelujah, he'll deliver you this morning from sin. You can't just say, I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to walk away. No, but you can come to him and he'll break the chains. The gospel is sin is our problem. We cannot save ourselves. But the gospel is Jesus came to save us by giving his life in our place. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Very simply, Jesus by dying paid the penalty for our sins and took the wrath of God that was our punishment. Amen. Amen. I've been talking about mirrors. You're not upset at me. You're not mad at me, are you? Okay. But let me tell you something else about mirrors. We really can't. I don't know if outside of the Word if there's really this mirror. But I want to tell you, you might have made the biggest mess of your life. You might have been involved in sin so deep. It was all darkness in mind and heart, filth and wickedness. But I want to tell you, when you come to Christ, when you come to Jesus, he has taken your place. And if there was a mirror, come on now, if there was a mirror where you could see yourself as God now sees you in Christ, you wouldn't see the mistakes. You wouldn't see the flaws. You wouldn't see the past sin. You know what you would see in that mirror? If you could see yourself as God sees, you would see the righteousness of his son Jesus. I said, that's the gospel. I couldn't get it right. Even if he forgave my past sins, I'm still not a very good person. I still got problems, and all of my righteousness is as filthy rags. But he didn't just forgive my sin. He clothed me in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Oh, come on, let's just praise him for it. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus did it. People must know Jesus makes them right. He did the work. He paid the price. At convocation, the meeting there, we went with several of our family members, different ones, had a big table there at the Oriental House. It came time after dinner to pay the bill, and I asked the waitress for the bill, and she said, there's not one. She said, somebody already took your bill and paid it. That's a nice feeling. It is. But I want you to notice two things. Wouldn't it have been silly for me to say, no, I insist that I pay this bill? And she said, it's already paid. The money's in the cash register. I insist I pay my bill. Wouldn't that be silly? Some people are going around insisting that they pay their bill when they can't, and Jesus has already paid it. Let me tell you something else. Amen. It was really, really nice for somebody to pay for my meal. I appreciate it. Made me feel good the rest of the day. Amen. But I could have dug deep enough and paid it on my own. I mean, right? I don't like that image, preachers acting like they can't take care of things on their own. I could have paid it. Oh, it made me feel good. I could have paid it. But there's something different about this salvation. I can dig deep, but I can never pay. That's why it's a more wonderful feeling to know that I'm saved. Oh, come on. Somebody lift your hand and say, I'm saved. And he did it. Come on, just tell him, you did it, Jesus. Hallelujah. I could preach on, but I'm going to end with this next point. Amen. Jesus came to save us. He gave his life. He paid the price. But last of all, the gospel is we must believe and repent. Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 11, for the scripture saith, listen, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. He did it. He paid the price. I have but one responsibility, to believe in my heart and confess it with my mouth. Hallelujah. One of the things the false gospel says is since Jesus died for all people are automatically saved. That's not right. It may sound right, but it's not. Since Jesus died for all people are automatically someday, somehow going to be saved. That's ludicrous. Let me explain it with a very simple illustration. You got 100 people starving to death. They put them in a room. There's a cook across town. Goes out, spends his own money, buys the grocery, takes his own time, prepares the food. He brings it to that room where the 100 starving people are. He puts the prepared, paid for food on the table. I have a question. Is every one of those 100 starving to death, is every one of their lives going to be saved? You'd like to say, well, yes. Well, maybe so, but maybe not. Why? It's dependent upon something. The food's been paid for. The food's been prepared. The food has been brought to them. But they still need to make the decision. I'll walk up to the table. I'll partake of what's been provided. Jesus died for all men, but you still make the decision. I will believe. I will repent. I will confess. Have you done that this morning? Amen. You must believe. It's a belief that goes beyond believing it with your head. You trust Jesus with your salvation. Demons believe with their head and tremble, but they're not saved. Amen. You must repent. That's part of saying the man's problem is not sin. There's no need for repentance. But everywhere you look in the book, Jesus came. John the Baptist came. Peter came preaching. Repent. What does repent mean? I'm not just sorry I'm in a mess, but I want to change my ways. I want to turn in a different direction. Amen. In the book of Acts, Peter preached that first church message, and it said everybody that heard it in verse 37 were pricked in their heart and said, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent. You believe. You repent. You confess. Jesus died for the forgiveness of my sin, but I cannot be forgiven if I do not want to be forgiven and do not ask for it. But thank God in 1 John chapter 1, if we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Jesus' death on the cross does not mean that our sins are automatically forgiven, but it means he has made the way. He has given us the ability to be forgiven if we would but ask. Amen. In Mark chapter 16, Jesus said, he that believeth on me and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. I must accept what he has done. I just preached to you the gospel this morning. Hallelujah. I said, that's the gospel. I said, that's the gospel. Aren't you glad for the gospel? It's the only hope and help of mankind. Amen. Pray for me again. Let's say a person really wanted to lose weight. The first thing he would need to do is throw away the skinny mirror and get back on the scales. I'm preaching about spiritual truths. Quit listening to those that will lie to you. Get a hold of this book that will tell you the truth. Hallelujah. The world will lie to you. How are they at fixing problems? How are they about making the world better? It's all a bunch of farce and lies. Throw away the skinny mirror and believe what the Word says. And thou shalt be saved. Would you come, music? I was going to tell you about the emperor's new clothes. I won't for sake of time, but I want you to hear this final statement. Listen to me. One final statement. If this morning the Word of God has spoken to you about the true state of your heart and mind, if the Word of God has spoken to you about your true need, don't walk away without taking action. Don't do that. It'll leave you in worse shape. But if the Word of God has spoken to you this morning, take action. Right now, you may want to do it after communion and come to this altar, but you can take action right now and say, I believe the gospel. My problem is sin. I cannot save myself. Jesus came to pay the price for me, and if I'll but believe in simple faith, I shall. Oh, what a gospel. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Church, we ought to be rejoicing. Hallelujah. Let me talk about one more mirror. I'm saying don't walk away unchanged. James said, if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's likened to a man beholding his face in a natural glass, who beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. That's not the skinny mirror. That's the true mirror of the Word of God. Have you seen yourself in the mirror this morning? Don't walk away without taking action. You'll be in worse shape than when you walked in here. But if you've seen yourself in the Word, call on God. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I can't help myself, but He sure can help me. Oh, hallelujah. It starts right there. I'm tired of the old life. I'm tired of the pain. I'm tired of the sin. I'm even tired of myself. Oh, I've seen myself in the mirror, but I've also seen how I could look. Amen. Coming to Christ, I could be forgiven and clothed in His undeserved right. Oh, that's the gospel. I have nothing else to preach than what I preach to you this. Amen. Servers, would you come? Father, take the word that was preached. Continue to move in hearts. Holy Spirit, confirm your word. Holy Spirit, make your word a living thing. Oh, hallelujah. Would you hear me across this building? Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord. Amen. You can come to this altar, but you can call on Him right where you're at. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You don't have to lift a hand, but could you say, I've seen myself in the Word. I need Jesus. I've got to have Jesus. I can't do it myself. I'll let the message continue to go forth in song, but listen to the Lord this morning. congregation. We hold these elements as a testimony. We could not save ourselves. He saved us through his broken body and his spilt blood. Brother Cruz, would you ask a blessing on the bread this morning? Let's partake with thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord, your body was broken. Hallelujah. He shed his blood. Brother Sam Norvell, would you ask the Lord's blessing over the cup? Amen. Brother Norvell, would you ask the Lord's blessing over the cup? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let's partake of the cup together. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Would you thank him that he has saved you, that he's washed away your sins? Lord, we give you thanks. Lord, we praise you. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, God. Amen. I want to open these altars as we sing Amazing Grace this morning. If you're here and you'd like to surrender your life to Christ this morning, you realize you cannot save yourself, but you'd like to call on the Lord, I'm going to invite you as we sing as a church Amazing Grace. Would you come? There'll be folks here to pray with you. Let's sing it. Amen. Would you come? You need Jesus this morning. Can't do it. You say, I can't. I need help. I've got to have Jesus. Do you need him this morning? Hallelujah. Do you need him this morning? Oh, but now I'm found. I will spend. Oh, but now. Let's sing that one more time, could we? Hallelujah. It was all by grace. I wonder if you could thank him one more time that it was grace. Grace, undeserved, unearned, unmerited, favor, kindness, mercies of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. As a part of the Lord's Supper, would you greet one another and affirm your love for your brothers and sisters this morning? Would you do that?